I have taught on music, but the last time I taught on it was 2016. And so it's been 4.5 years. So I thought we would take this wonderful journey to go through again. Before we get started, if this is a basic topic to you, if you led somebody to the Lord and they asked you about music, where would you take them in the Bible? If you don't know where to start, how are you going to disciple somebody? How are you going to help somebody and take them along? Music's a huge topic in the Bible. It's, as a matter of fact, it's one of the biggest topics in the Bible. So it's amazing, and I'm going to use the word ignorant, it's amazing how ignorant people are on music, and because there's ignorance amongst Christians and Christians can't teach it, guess what's happening? Churches are changing. And independent fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches that have stood for years are starting to change. And guess what they've taught us since I've been saved? The first thing that changes in a church, it's not the preaching, it's not the soul winning. The first thing that changes in a church is what? The music. Well, if you don't know what's bad and what's good, how can you keep it from changing? And the pastor can't be the only one. As a church member, you got to be able to say, I know what music standards are. I know what the Bible teaches. So, let's go through this. If you're going to see me put some verses up on the screen, I put them up there so we can go quickly. But if you have a pen and paper, now if you want the PowerPoint, I'll give you the PowerPoint. Okay? But I have in the back of my Bible a square that goes just like that. It says music. And if somebody asks me about music, I have scripture right there that I could teach somebody and go through with or without the PowerPoint. Okay? So I'll give you everything. I think you know that. I'll give you anything I have. I feel like that's what I need to do. And it's what I need to do as a pastor. Here, contemporary Christian music is a church's worst nightmare. Because once it gets in the church, it normally takes a church split for it to get out. People who are involved in contemporary Christian music, once it gets ingrained in the church, they would rather leave the church than change it. And that's because contemporary Christian music with it, it's going to be the last lesson I teach you, brings a spirit of rebellion with it. Okay, so it contemporary Christian music is and has been for the... Look, do you all realize Dr. Lee Robertson's church, one of the greatest soul-winning churches of the 50s and 60s and 70s, it no longer exists. When Dr. Lee Robertson died, it took 5 years for that church to go Southern Baptist. Then it went contemporary, and it's Highland Park Baptist Church doesn't exist anymore. They were seeing hundreds of kids saved a year. It doesn't exist anymore. Contemporary music came in, changed it, obliterated the church. We go story after story. Here we go. When it comes to music, God says in Ecclesiastes that the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of myrrh. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. When God says in Ecclesiastes 7, there is a song that fools listen to. So to take the stance, well, you know, music doesn't matter to God. No, there's a song of wise people and there's a song of fools. So I want to know then, what is the music that fools listen to? When you read 2 Timothy 2:15, God does say to study, to show thyself approved unto God. In 1 Thessalonians 5:21, God tells us to prove all things. I would think especially is that true in music. Prove it. Prove that it's right. Put it to a test. Have a test that it has to pass through to be right. And God says, definitely do all things that way. Don't just accept it as it is, but prove all things. And that's what we're supposed to do as children of God. We're supposed to use the Bible to do so. Ephesians, God categorizes music in three categories. God says in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Notice this. Verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, semicolon. You know what verse 18 says? Verse 18 says, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then one of the things you'll do, verse 19, is you'll sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I did not say every person that sings is Spirit-filled. But if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the things you do is you sing to the Lord in your heart. And watch this, not any music. You sing music that's pleasing to the Lord. So, here we go. Psalms, what's a psalm? Psalm is Bible put to music, right? Singing a Bible verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So that would be a psalm. That's a Bible verse put to music. What is a hymn? All the songs in the hymn book, we call it a hymn book, but everything in here is not a hymn. There's not even a her in here. Okay, that was stupid. We call it a hymn book, but what is a hymn? A hymn is a song that, one, does not have a chorus, and it speaks objectively about God. Let me tell you what a hymn could be. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early. Okay, so a hymn has no chorus, and it will teach you about who God is. Many times it can be a prayer song, okay, but that's a hymn. What is a spiritual song? There are spiritual songs in here. A spiritual song is a song that where you sing in testimony. How about, since Jesus came into my heart, since Jesus came into, you're testifying of what God's done for you. All right, that is a spiritual song. So God classifies music three ways. And there's three classes of good music. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay, so there's a lot more we could learn on that. I could have taken a night and just shown you examples of that in the Bible. But I want to keep moving here. Why is this important? Because God doesn't mention genres. Aren't you glad? That tells me this. Rock music is defined. It has parameters that makes it rock music. Rap music, hip hop, it has parameters that make it that. Country music, it has things that happen in it that make it country. All of those are wrong. Pulling any elements out of those would be wrong. God classifies music three ways. It's a Bible verse put to song. You're singing about the Lord, or you're testifying what the Lord's done in your life in a spiritual song. Okay? So, you say, why would you say that? Because it's amazing how many people say music is cultural. Music is not cultural. I heard one girl, you know, in the youth group in New Jersey, she goes, I said, you know, she's always tired in church because she'd stay up late on Saturday night. I said, what'd you do last night? Oh, well, you know, in the Spanish culture, you know, we party and we, you know, we had to, you know, dance. I said, what do you listen to that music for? And she said, oh, it's our culture. I said, guess what? Your culture is going to kill you. Your culture is going to, I said, you cannot grow spiritually while you're so wrapped up in your culture that you defend the wrong that comes with it. Did you know there's only two cultures in the Bible? Heaven and hell. Your music comes from one of two places. You say, well, I'm from this part of the world, or I'm from this part of the world. There's only two cultures in your Bible. Your music either comes from heaven or it comes from hell based on its ingredients that are in it. Okay? Watch this. The word music can be broken down into the word muse. The word muse is the root word, music is the root word for think or meditate. When I mused in thy law, when I thought. What do they call amusement parks? Ah, Latin for no, thinking parks. An amusement park is a no thinking park. That's where you got rides and everything else entertained you, and it's amusement. You, no brain required. Okay, you like that? Okay. Music, the root word is muse. That means music has the strongest effect on your mind. Normally, that's how come there's certain stores I don't like going into, because when they play that song, my mind goes back to the very first place I heard it. Normally, it's a rock song or something like that, and I'll go, I don't want to be in here. You say, why? Because of how it's affecting my mind. Music, good music, helps you think and meditate right. Bad music leads to poor thinking. And so music is one of God's methods of teaching. We looked at Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then, you know what? Can you go to Colossians chapter 3? Go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. I'll show you a similar passage there. I didn't put it up on the board just so we could look at it in our Bibles. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and look at verse 16. Once again, the three categories of God's music is there, but verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then everybody see the word teaching? Do you see the word admonish? The word admonish means to counsel. What makes music so powerful is every time the song is played, you're taught something. Every time the song is played, you're counseled or you're given advice for life. That's why I feel sorry for, I know when I was lost and I'd listen to music all night long, same songs over and over again, I was brainwashing myself with the filth of the world. And it was counseling me. It was controlling my thinking. That's how come, you ever seen the people that listen to the rock music and the burnouts? They're that way because of the music they listen to. Their lifestyle leads to that. God's plan for music is teaching us. That's what we just sang. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling. Well, all the songs that we sing, you're taught good things in the music. That's what makes the wrong music so dangerous, is it beats it into your brain and it poisons your mind. That's what makes the wrong music so dangerous. So God's method for music is teaching. So when you see there, I always ask the question, when the song is done playing, what were you taught? That's why I said, well, what's wrong with country music? They singing about drinking and adultery and fornication. That gets beat into your mind. Yeah, country music's sick. Rap music is sick. Rock music is vile. You cannot listen to God. It'd be one thing if you were just hearing the words, but when you put the vehicle of the music with the words, it drives it deep in you. That's how powerful music is. When it's done, what's playing? First time music is mentioned in your Bible. First time is in Genesis 4. And let me just read this to you, and I'll explain something to you. Verse number 19, Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. Jabal and Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Now listen, watch this. God does not say that Jubal invented the harp or the organ. It says he was the father of those that play it. That's important because man didn't invent music. God did. Man just plays it. But somebody said, well, music is man-made, so man gets to do whatever he wants with it. No, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Music is God's creation. It's supposed to be done for his pleasure, not ours. It says here in Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cainan, instructor of every artificer in brass and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, verse 23, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. The words in yellow there from verse 23 to 24, if you could see the Hebrew, it is written in a meter and a timing of a music song. And it's the first song recorded in the Bible. The first song recorded in the Bible is from descendants of Cain that what? Killed Abel. And one of his children, Lamech, sings to his wives, "Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt." The first song in the Bible is from a lost man about murdering somebody. Look at the next verse. Verse 24 says, "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." He's mocking his grandfather. He's saying, Cain killed his brother, and if somebody would avenge him, I'm really going to get avenged because I've killed somebody. He's mocking the judgment of God. You say, why is that important? Because since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, there has always been a music of tension and conflict, and there has been a music that encourages immorality. We call it rock music from the 50s, but rock music has been around since the fall of man in its beat and its message. Murder, rape, all of that. Immorality, it's been around a long time. It's just rock music. The name came along in the 50s, all right? So, the first song in your Bible. Here, go to Exodus chapter 32. Go to Exodus. We looked at Genesis chapter 4. Go to Exodus 32. Exodus 32, Moses goes up and speaks with God for 40 days and 40 nights. And this is a sad chapter. They make an idol, they start worshiping it, and notice what happens with the music when the man of God is up on the top of the mountain, and notice when the people are left to themselves with their idolatry. It says here, Exodus chapter 32, look at verse number 17. "And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear." So there is a music that sounds like war. Because that's what he said. Oh, there's fighting going on down there. No, it doesn't. Yeah, it sounds like conflict, but it's more sound like singing. And when you hear people sing the rock music and the rap music and the filth, and they're screaming it, yeah, 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 yeah. It sounds like if you could mic hell, it sounds like what they sound when they're being tormented and judged. No, there is a music that sounds like conflict and war, but it's singing. It's singing. Once again, this idea of rock music, it goes back far before the 50s. Far before the 50s. Keep on going here. Verse 19, "And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath a mount." And then he makes the children drink of the ground calf. And then look at verse number 25. "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies." The word naked means improperly clothed. It does not mean nude. Naked in the Bible means improperly clothed. So from Exodus 32, I can draw a conclusion this way. What is God trying to teach me about music? There is a music that encourages idolatry and immorality, and for you to take your clothes off. That's what's wrong with Dancing with the Stars and all of that other filth that's on TV. Look, there's a dance. When David danced before the Lord, there's a dance in the Bible that is clean. It goes something like this. It's a leaping. Yay! Yay! That's not sensual. The other three times when people danced in the Bible, this is one of them. When they danced sensually, God killed people. Okay? Remember the woman that Herod's daughters, whatever, dancing before what is it, Herod, John the Baptist, got his head cut off? Four? She wasn't leaping and dancing. She was dancing sensually. And every time that happens in the Bible, God kills people. There's a good dance that rejoices before the Lord in the Bible, and there's a bad dance that God judges. This is one of them. And you'll notice that this music, it has the sound of conflict and war, and it involves people taking off their clothes and living immorally. Once again, the music, the song of fools. As we look at this, there was an article in the Baptist Voice, and this is out of West Coast Baptist College, okay? This was in fall of 2019. This is issue 33, and I specifically looked at it, and these are direct quotes from it, but they said in the article, this is what they're teaching independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists. They said, some disagreements on form have hindered our praise in our churches. Everybody understand the word form? Let's use the word style. Oh, who cares what style it is, just so long as you're praising the Lord. In the article it says, questions and concerns about form of music constantly arise, and it hinders our worship services. And we shouldn't be talking about form. We should be talking about praising the Lord. This is an independent King James Bible soul-winning Baptist magazine. They said, they use Hebrews 13:15 for the verse, but they say our praise is first, it's offered to God. There's three things. Our praise is offered to God. So we're supposed to be praising the Lord when we sing. Then they said, number two, Jesus makes our praise acceptable, no matter what form it is. Okay, are any red flags going off in anybody's heads? They said, it's not the song selection, the instrumentation, the form or structure that make our praise acceptable. Our praise is acceptable to God because of Jesus' finished work of salvation. Oh boy, doesn't that sound spiritual? You know what they're saying? Let me rephrase that. Because Jesus died for us, you can do anything you want with praise. Just don't get specific and don't judge me and don't call. That's garbage. This is not, you would expect this from real life and stuff like this. This is West Coast. This is what the music teacher there teaches. This was just last year. Watch this. So they said, our praise is offered to God. Jesus makes our praise acceptable. And then, thirdly, what we need to know about praise is our blessings are abundant. Okay? Watch this. Can we truly allow our praise to be hindered when God has so abundantly blessed us? I'm too blessed to be stressed, so I let God do the rest and put me to the test. Okay. All right. The garbage that is being taught. This has a guise of spirituality, doesn't it? You mean we can't talk about form? So if you want to put drums on the platform and you want to play a different style, if you want to incorporate blues, after all, you know, blues and then, oh, what about some folk from the 1800s, you know? That's part of American heritage, and put that in the church also. Don't discuss form. Jesus makes our praise acceptable because He died on the cross. That is a bunch of hooey. So I get to listen to anything I want and sing anything I want because Jesus died for me. What kind of a libertine, free garbage is going on? This is what's being taught. Now that I got that off my chest, I feel so much better. But you realize this has been happening for the past 25 years, and churches that used to be independent, fundamental Baptist are no longer. Then they take Baptist off the sign, and then it just goes downhill from there. It just, you know, all in the name of getting a crowd and all this stuff. Here we go. If God is our audience and Jesus, this is what the final article wrapped up with. If God is our audience and Jesus is our mediator, then the only hindrances to our praise today are the intentions and attention of our hearts. You know what they're saying? If your motive is pure, then you get to listen to whatever you want to. Since when do your motives have anything to do with your obedience? I don't care how you feel. You're supposed to go soul winning. I feel backslidden sometime. I don't feel as close to God as I always do, but I'm still supposed to tell somebody about the Lord if God leads them across my path. Well, I just don't feel worthy. Who is? Do you see what's going on? No, it's your motive. It's the attitude of your heart. And that's the No, your obedience is what's important. Not your feelings and your opinions and your emotions. So, this is the right and wrong are no longer determined by obedience to God's Word. The only thing that matters are your motives. So guess what happens now? The end justifies the means. And if you had a worshipful experience with that music, then that makes it all right. This is humanism in the name of Christianity. Okay? It's got a nice spiritual overtone, but this is garbage. Okay. That's why it's the church's worst nightmare, because of the philosophy it brings with it. Genesis chapter 1, God says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said," or God sounded. He sent frequencies and tones and vibrations, and God created the earth with sound. Okay, so God said, or God sounded, and He spoke things into existence. How did God create the world? God said, through sound, by the word of the Lord, were the heavens made and the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Psalm 33, verse 6. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 33, verse 9. And then the worlds were framed by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Now, there's a man named Dr. Hans Jenny, and he would play music of good music towards powders, plastic, and non-biological substances, and he noticed the vibrations and tones in the music would cause the molecules to assemble themselves in a symmetry. Watch what he did here. There's one. See the center and then the symmetry? Here's another one. You zoom in on it. There's a star right in the middle. And even though the outer edge is bowed, see how it's uniform? He started noticing this. Look at that. It's beautiful. This is not living tissue. This is not biological tissue. We'll get into that here in just a second. But these are plastics, and he's noticing the forms that the vibrations of the good music causes the thing. That's God's creation, right? He said, "Sound has a direct influence on our human biology and thus influences our health." Okay, he said, if this does it to powder and plastics and things like that, what does it do to our body that's a living organism? When you start looking at God's creation and its beauty, God spoke that into existence. Okay, look at the God's design. God spoke that into existence. Look at that, inside of a shell. Flower all the way around. God, when God speaks and God sounds, it creates a beautiful creation and symmetry, okay? Next, to understand music, it would help if you understand who Satan is. And in Isaiah chapter 14, the word Lucifer is used the only time in your Bible. And Satan declares five things. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And you see Satan's pride in Isaiah 14. And the P-R-I-D-E, Satan takes the steps. And then in Ezekiel chapter 28, God makes five statements answering these. I will cast thee down to hell. And in Proverbs 16:18, before pride goeth destruction. And then you learn Matthew 25:41, like a fire was created for the devil and his angels. So if you understand a little history, this isn't the Bible study on Satan, but Satan rebelled against God. Who was Satan? God says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So you got somebody that's hunting you. You have somebody that has crosshairs on you. He's waiting for you to trip up. Be careful. Your adversary, the devil, is hunting you. He's walking about. And then what else do you learn about the devil? This is just a real quick overview because I'm going to draw some conclusions here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a voice, a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. What are Satan's jobs? Satan has a twofold work. His first job is to deceive the world. His second job is to accuse the brethren. He causes chaos in the church by accusations. He causes deception. That's where the false religions and false churches come from in the world. He's done a really good job. He deceiveth the whole world. That's his job. If you understand that Satan's job is to deceive, get you to see something that is not real, if you understand that, now take your Bibles. Matter of fact, go to Ezekiel 28, and I want to show you something here. I could point it out to you, but you really need to see it in your Bible. Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And watch this. Verse number 13. There ought to be some things that a Christian has marked in their Bible. This is very powerful. God says here, it says, then hast thou been in Eden, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God. So who he's talking about goes back to the Garden of Eden. And then it says, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. So, God describes Satan as the most beautiful creature you've ever seen in your life. If Satan walked into the room right now as God created him, there is nothing that you have ever seen on this earth that is as beautiful as Satan. He doesn't have a red suit. He doesn't have a tail. He doesn't have horns. That's all Hollywood garbage. The Bible says he's the most beautiful creature God created. He's covered in jewels. God is light. God made Lucifer his right-hand man, and what would all those jewels and diamonds do? They would reflect the light, right? He was made to reflect the glory of God. So Satan, the Bible says, is a beautiful, literally mesmerizing person. What makes him ugly is he enjoys seeing people hurt. You understand? He enjoys death and the darkness, but his physical appearance is one of total beauty. Notice the rest of the verse. The workmanship, and here's what I wish you'd mark in your Bible, of thy, underline the word, tabrets, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. So here's Satan. He has jewels all over him. He's gorgeous. And he has something in his being. He has tabrets. What's a tabret? It's where we get the word tambourine. It's a rhythm instrument. Okay? So Satan has tabrets in him. I don't know where they're at. I don't know how many. It just says he's got tabrets. Then the other thing he has is pipes. The word pipes is in reference to the organ. Did you know the organ, not the piano, the organ is the only instrument in the world, if it's a full-size organ, that has the steel pipes, wood pipes, and brass pipes. When I was raised in Michigan, our church in Michigan and Lansing had there's the big Wurlitzer organs. When you sat in our church, the steel pipes were right here, the wood pipes were in the back, and the steel, wood, and the brass pipes were over here. Each room of pipes we used to play hide and seek in. Just the room of brass pipes, you could crawl in the door, and it was a square room that went up about 30 feet, and yeah, I mean, you could hide. We'd get in there and play hide and seek, and that was just one room. Organs are huge. And a real organ can make the sound of every other instrument in the orchestra. It can make the sound of a violin. It can make the sound of the brass. It can make the sound of a piano. So the pipes are in reference to an instrument that is in Satan. Do you all realize Satan was God's song leader? When Satan got up, his job before he rebelled against God, his job was to lead the angels in praise to God. So when Satan would call everybody to order, he wouldn't say to the pianist, "Give me an E-flat." He didn't have one. He would provide the music out of his being. You know what that tells me? God designed Satan as a musical being. That means music is the devil's specialty. Think with me. If Satan's job is to deceive the world, what do you think his number one tool would be? Music. And you don't know music like the devil does. I didn't say everybody that dives into music is satanic, but those who are number one in the music world, they have given themselves to the devil. They talk about selling their souls to the devil so that you can't be number one in the entertainment world without selling your soul to the devil. He won't let you be number one. His specialty is music. The Bible teaches me that. So be careful, Christian. You don't know music like he does. And if I were you, if you're casual, he can deceive you very easily. Because what's the devil do? Right? He doesn't like you living by principle. He likes you living by your feelings. Oh, I like that music. That makes me feel really good. The devil can make you feel real good. You mean that's the only determining factor on what you choose to listen to is how it makes you feel? You're in dangerous ground. You better have more than your feelings and emotions if you're going to determine what's right. Because Satan is a deceiver and music is his specialty. Every Christian ought to understand that. So when we're dealing with music, we have to be very careful, all right? Now, let's go. Music is of a heavenly origin. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, "The Lord thy God will joy over thee with singing." Did you know God sings? We have a musical God. Did you know God plays the trumpet? The trump of the Lord, right? So God plays an instrument and God sings. We have a musical God. He spoke things into existence. Watch this. God's creation is musical. In Isaiah 35 and 49 verse 13, heavens, earth, desert, corn, all the mountains, they sing. Flock and corn sing. Fowls sing in Psalm 104. The stars sing in Job 38 verse 7. And the heavens sing in Isaiah 44. I'm telling you, God's creation is musical because God is musical. That's how He spoke it into existence. The whole earth is at rest, Isaiah 14 verse 7, and is quiet. They, the whole earth, break forth into singing. When does that happen? When Jesus comes again. Now let's keep on looking here. God's creation makes music. In the book Einstein's Violin by Joseph Egger, watch this. He said, basically, each planet creates vibrations, sound waves, caused by the path of its traveling through space. Therefore, each planet produces music that stems directly from the speed of its motion in orbit. Do you understand the whole universe is musical? You say, why? Because God spake or sounded things into existence, right? With His tones and His vibrations and the voice coming from God. God spoke it into existence. That's why the stars sing. Now, something else you need to understand when we deal with the issue of music. How does the ear work? Scripture mentions in the Bible hearing and the ear 1,500 times. Okay? It's mentioned in your Bible. Few examples, Matthew 13, 16, Proverbs 1, 8, Hebrews 2, 1, Proverbs 15, 3, 1, Proverbs 19, 20. We won't go all through that, and I think if you've read your Bible at all, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches, right? So God says, listen to me, my son, give me thine ear in Proverbs. What's that have to do? In the book Tone Deaf and All Thumbs by Frank Wilson, listen closely. He said our ears respond to 19,985 individually perceptible sound frequencies. To compare that with your eyes, our eyes respond to 375 individually perceptible wavelengths of light. Look at the numbers. 19,985 versus 375. You know what that tells me? Our ears are 50 times more sensitive than our eyes. Have you ever heard somebody say, if you could pick to be blind or deaf, what would you pick? I heard this when I was a teenager in school. They said, if you chose to lose your hearing, you would be more crippled than a blind person. Well, at least I'd get to drive. You know what I mean? But did you know your hearing is so important? It's the most sensitive organ on your body. That's why to lose your hearing is to cripple yourself much more than a blind person. Okay? Now, this helps explain it to me. Helps explain it. So our ears are 50 times more sensitive than our eyes. Here we go. God made us that way. Notice this. God says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God says, literally, guard your heart. Would you place the guards of your heart? At the entrances. What are the entrances of your heart? Okay? Your eyes and your ears, or what you hear and what you see, because it goes right from your eyeballs into your heart, and it goes right from your ears into your heart. And guess what sends more information to your heart? What you hear. Because it's more sensitive. So God says, keep or guard your heart with all diligence. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know why you talk about bad things? Because your heart's full of it. Where'd you get it from? You're not guarding your eyes and you're not guarding your ears. Keep your heart with all diligence. Okay? The importance of hearing. When you're talking about music, God says faith cometh by hearing. Okay? So if you hear the word of God, then if you listen to it, then that builds your faith. Okay? So God designed us, when we hear the Bible, our faith is built. Next, music is very powerful. God created music. God loves music. God himself sings. We showed you that. God knows how music can move and affect us. 1 Samuel 16:23, and when used properly, music is very powerful. All right? 1 Samuel 16:23. Just if we could cover it tonight, I don't have time for you to go to it in your Bible, but remember when Saul was backslidden and was fighting God, he needed David to come and play before him, right? It says when David played on the harp, notice three things happened. It says David took a harp and played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed, well, and the evil spirit departed from him. So music affects you three ways, mentally, physically, and spiritually. There's only one other thing in the world that affects you that way, and that's your Bible. When you read your Bible, it affects you physically, mentally, and spiritually. Music and that book are what can take and help your whole body. Watch this. If there's a music that drives away evil spirits, then wouldn't the opposite be true? Then there's a music that attracts evil spirits too. If there's a music that helps you mentally be well, then is there a music that afflicts you mentally and spiritually? Yes. Be careful. I tried to argue this with somebody and they said, music is amoral. Music is not amoral. Music affects you. That's why they give new babies in the hospitals the Einstein CD. They said, if you'll listen to this classical music, it makes the ions in the brain connect faster and your baby's intelligence will be higher, your IQs, the IQ of the baby. Good music makes you smart, and bad music makes you stupid. Now, wait a second. You say, where'd you learn that from? I learned that from the Bible. You say, how come you don't listen to rock music? It's not because I like rock music. My flesh likes it. I like country music. My flesh likes it. But I realize it damages me. So I don't want it in my life. I don't listen to what I like has nothing to do with what I choose. My flesh likes it. You mean I'm supposed to do everything my flesh likes? Come on. I'd be a reprobate. My flesh is wicked. There's things I'm supposed to tell my flesh no about, right? I'm supposed to deny myself. So are you, Christian. So be careful. God teaches us in the Bible that music affects us three ways, just like the Bible. If I took you to 2 Kings 3:14 and 15, when Elijah, he got so angry at Jehoshaphat, he said, I can't believe you brought him in here. He said, bring me a minstrel to play before me. It says, as the minstrel came and played, the Spirit of God came upon him. He said, when I messed up, he said, I need some good music. You backslider, you really tick me off. He said, bring me a minstrel. You know what that tells me? Music can be very healing if you'll use it right. That's why when you don't feel like coming to church, you need to. Right? Because the singing and being with God's people, God, that's one reason we sing. It's not the only reason. But music has the power to control your moods. And if you're in a bad mood, then you know how you can get quick control of your spirit? Put some good music on. That's a good lesson. I use music in my office. If you came in during the middle of the day and if you snuck around the corner and you listened to what I listen to, I think Billy's come in there. So he doesn't sneak around the corner, but if you came in my office, I'll let you hear what I listen to. I've got brain music and focus music and clarity and creativity, and I've got some relaxing music in there. But when I'm working, I want good tones around me. I want it affecting my brain in a good way. I'm so thankful I don't have to work at Wawa. I go in there, get a coffee, and I'm not like, good grief. If I had to work around that all day, I'd be, You say, why? Because the tones affect you. The music affects you. And every time those tones and vibrations hit your body, everybody responds neurologically the same way. Music has the power to affect your moods. In the 500s of the 6th century, a philosopher, Anicius Boethius, in other words, this has been around a long time, this is what he said, music can both establish and destroy morality. For no path is more open to the soul for the formation thereof than we've already learned through the ears, right? The ears are the most sensitive organ God put in your body. 50 times more sensitive than your eyes. Watch this. Therefore, when the rhythms and modes have penetrated even the soul through these organs, it cannot be doubted that they affect the soul with their own character and conform it to themselves. Music will change you. This is in the 500s. This was what? This is going to be, what, 1,500 years ago? People have known this for a long time. I can cover this with you in history, but did you know in China, one of the emperors said, he would say, I want to hear what they're listening to in the certain provinces, and if you were found listening to music that matched rock music and his definition, you were executed. Because he said, if you're listening to that type of music, you're going to rebel, because it breeds rebellion. That was 1,000 years ago. We're only stupid about it right now, okay? But this is things people have known for a long time. If your music's dark, you take on the character of the music that you listen to. That's why when I got saved and I was sitting in church and I didn't know the hymns, it frustrated me so bad. Because I dinked around in church and didn't know them. So guess what? I started practicing in nursing homes and singing them. I want those words in my head. I can't get the bad music out, but I can put good music in. Amen? Here we go. Masaru Emoto. Okay? He's from Japan, not China, so you don't have any coronavirus scares right now. Okay? Ha! That was stupid. All right. He did a test, and he put water in cylinders, would put it in a freezer, and while it froze, he played different types of music, and the crystals that formed, he put under a magnifying glass or a scope, and he started noticing when you play good music, as the water crystallizes, it starts forming, once again, very symmetrical shapes. So he said, beautiful music and words form crystalline structures from water molecules. There's one picture. Looks like a brooch, doesn't it? Looks like something you'd, you know, I wouldn't wear it, but I mean, something my wife would wear. Okay. Look at that. Okay. Isn't that intricate? These are pictures as he played different music to these cylinders of water as they froze. And he noticed, wow. Now, he also noticed that discordant tones and negative music form chaotic patterns every time. So he played rock music to the same, would thaw them out. And then as the water would freeze again, he would play different types of discordant, what we would call discordant or progressive music. It can be rock, it can be blues, it can be jazz, but he played different bad music towards it, and then these were the shapes of the water as it froze. Wow. Gross. Looks like cancer, doesn't it? Okay, that's the same water, but as it froze, the vibrations of the bad music and the discordant negative music caused the water to freeze in a bad way. If you want to know, what did he play to cause the water to freeze this way? I'm not a Tchaikovsky's fan, but that caused the water to freeze that way. What caused this? Notice the symmetry a little bit here. I know it's a little out of whack under here, but what caused that? Mozart, Symphony 40, okay? What caused this beautiful structure here? Beethoven's Pastoral, okay? These vibrations cause the water. This is going somewhere because we're about done. Okay, I'm going to draw a conclusion here, but watch closely. It caused the water to freeze and crystallize in these shapes. What would cause something like that? That looks very out of sorts. That's what he played. Okay, I think you got it, right? The negative discordal music produced that as the water froze. This stuff's all over the internet. This isn't the only test. I'll show you other tests. This is so wide. If you want to know the truth, you can. Amen. This isn't the only guy that's done tests with music. Okay, I think you get it. So that's what he played as the water froze, and that would cause the different shapes. So that was, as a scientist, this is science. You say, okay, what are you saying, preacher? How much of your body's water? 80%? I wonder how much music affects you. God made us 80% water. I would be scared to death to play with the wrong music for fear of how it would change me. Without me knowing, me thinking everything's okay. You understand? Music is very powerful. This is just one. We've looked at the Bible tonight. We've learned about the devil. It's his specialty, right? And we've used a little science to show music is very... That's why God says, remember the first verse, 1 Thessalonians? Prove all things. You better have a test you put your music to, and it better not just be how it makes you feel, because the devil can make you feel real good. All in the name of Jesus, too, by the way. He's a master of deception. And what we're watching churches change that you would, 20 years ago, you'd have thought, man, this place going to stay, you know how our church is going to stay fundamental? I can't be the only one that's policing the music. Everybody in our church has to know. I may not know what preacher knows, okay, he teaches it, but I've still been exposed to it, and I understand. And if somebody got up here and sang, I remember, you know, when we were at Shenandoah, I remember one guy, I like that song, Under His Wings, I like that song. But man, this person got up at the piano, man, they were under his wings. I mean, we were all sitting there going, boy, they got with it. I was looking out over the congregation. I remember people were going, they weren't. And you know what? The church people ought to be doing that. This, and you know what the question ought to be in the church members? Are we changing? Is preacher going liberal? I want my church to say the same. For some of you, this is where you were saved. For some of you, this is where God dealt with your heart. I don't want my church to change. That's why it takes church members going, preacher, I got a question. You taught us about music, but Ding Dong out here, you know, he wanted to sing that blues special. Yeah, you ought to be asking questions, right? Because you know who keeps our church straight? It's all of us. Amen? We all should love the Lord enough to want what's right, and we got to have a filter somehow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that, Lord, please, you would use this, Lord, as we look into this topic.